The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' And the servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I recently read a book called The Sinner's Guide by Venerable Louis of Granada. He was a priest of the 16th century. It has struck me that the very first chapter starts with our recognition that God is God. And by virtue of that, is entitled to our complete love and reverence. It wasn't so very long ago that the church's emphasis was on what seemed to be a distant and seemingly unapproachable God. And such an emphasis made it difficult to encourage people to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, today it seems that the pendulum has swung the other way, and we have less recognition of a God who is an omnipotent, all-holy God, who is by nature above us to an infinite degree, and by whom we should all be filled with wonder and awe. Today we sometimes see God as a buddy, as an equal. God is not our buddy. We hear over and over again that Jesus loves us, and we should hear that over and over again, because Jesus does love us. In fact, he loves us more than we can possibly love ourselves. But the problem is, we have a tendency to think of those who we love and who love us as equals. And that's why I use the term buddy. In our relationship with God, even as we grow very close to him, we must not fail to acknowledge that God is God. God is way above us. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we received in confirmation, is fear of the Lord. Today we call that wonder and awe, because the meaning of fear has changed over the years. So this gift is not a cowering fear where we should be afraid of God, but it's an awareness of the glory and the majesty of God. A person with wonder and awe knows that God is the perfection of all we desire. And St. Thomas Aquinas calls it a filial fear, a fear of separating ourselves from God. Fear of the Lord is like a child's fear of offending father. It's not the fear of a slave who fears punishment. This gift puts our mindset in its correct location with respect to God. We are finite, dependent creatures. He is an infinite, all-powerful creator. It reminds us that all things were created by Him and kept in existence by Him. Even our own person was chosen by Him to exist. If you go back through your family tree and you look at all of the events that had to happen in order for you to be born, you would know that the probability that any one of us was born was extremely small. It was certainly on the level of a miracle. We are here because each one of us was chosen by the Almighty and Eternal Creator to exist. And we can ponder all we like about why we were chosen and someone else was not, but we will never know unless God chooses to tell us. But one thing is certain, it isn't because we deserve it. One thing, St. Paul says to the Romans, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how inscrutable are His judgments, how unsearchable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given Him anything that may be repaid? For from Him and through Him and for Him all things are. To Him be glory forever." As close as St. Paul was to God, St. Paul does not sound like he considers God to be his buddy. God is God. One of the great tragedies of our age, and indeed one of today's greatest threats to our salvation, is the loss of the sense of the sacred. Our willingness to regard God as the Almighty Father, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has slowly diminished as we bring Him down to our level. But is He on our level? We read in Exodus, "Then Moses said, 'Please let me see your glory.' And God replied, 'You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live.'" Do we see God as a buddy or in terms of the sacred? Is He regarded by us as the King of Kings? Jesus came down from heaven to be with us, to walk among us, but He did not cease to be God. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do," because His tormentors did not know He was God. We do know. What should be our relation to God? The best way to think of what you should, of how you should approach God is not as a good buddy and not as someone who's afraid of Him. You should picture yourself as a toddler who sees his father and runs to him and throws his arms around his knees and hugs him as tightly as he can. That's our relation, not a buddy, not fear. In the gospel readings last week and this week, Jesus tells us two parables, and both are centered on people who did not regard God as the omniscient King of the universe, but last week they refused to acknowledge his ownership of the vineyard. And this week, they refused his invitation to a wedding feast. In both cases, things ended badly for them. So how do we understand where we fit in the parables of today's gospel? Well, there's two groups of people. There are those that knew who God was, but rejected the divinity of Jesus because they regarded Him as, at best, an equal and someone whom they could ignore if they wished to. And this message was clearly intended for the Jewish leaders at the time, who did not want to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah because they might have to give up their lofty positions. As Bishop Sheen once said, they did not want to give up their tinsel crowns. Jesus would have given them a golden one instead. The message is also, though, for us. Everything we have, God has given to us. We owe him more than we can ever possibly repay. And for us to acknowledge that God is God requires us to be humble. And that's why we genuflect before the tabernacle. We kneel for most of the Mass. What does kneeling mean? Kneeling makes us smaller before divinity. And we do not genuflect, are we not failing to acknowledge the divinity of Jesus? When we brush off Sunday Mass, are we not saying, I have other more important things to do? And how different is that from what the invitees in today's gospel said? Now, the second group of people were the Gentiles. And in a sense, we also belong to this second group. Because even though we do not deserve it, God has invited us to the heavenly banquet. The very Mass we are celebrating today, and every Mass we have celebrated or will celebrate, is an earthly participation in the heavenly banquet. In today's gospel, one individual shows up inappropriately dressed for the wedding. Now, this isn't a lesson, strictly, about the way we're supposed to dress for Mass. Although we may want to consider that as we mull over our response to the majesty of God. But far more important, far, far more important than our physical clothing is our spiritual clothing. In the baptismal liturgy, we say, you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. Receive this baptismal garment and bring it unstained to the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ so that you may have everlasting life. The baptismal garment is a white cloth which represents the purity of our souls and our freedom from sin. But we are responsible for bringing that garment unstained to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The individual in today's gospel showed up in a garment that was stained with his iniquities, torn by his sin. And worse, he had made no effort to clean it or repair it. Why? Because he did not acknowledge that the King was King. Do we acknowledge that God is God, the King of Kings? Is our garment torn and stained by our transgressions? When we sin, do we look at this baptismal garment in horror and immediately set about to clean it or to repair it? Do we frequently go to confession where our sins are washed away? Or do we come to Mass, where we start the Mass with repentance for our sins, and where we receive the body and blood of Jesus, blood which washes away our sin and whitens our baptismal garment so that we can wear it to the heavenly banquet? Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. And though they may be red like crimson, they may become white as wool. It is in this way, and only in this way, that I can be saved. But I must humble myself. I must acknowledge that God is God. He is not my buddy. He is not my equal. He is God, my Father. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father Benedict Groeschel tells a story of visiting Scotland where a Presbyterian minister went with him into a Catholic church. And as they stood before the tabernacle, Father Groeschel said, "Since we are in the presence of the Lord, don't you think we should kneel down?" And the Presbyterian minister responded, "If I could believe that, I would go down on my knees and never get up again." While he did not have the fullness of faith, the minister did know who he is and who God is. Can we, who possess the fullness of revelation, whom God has entrusted with the truth, whom God has condescended to visit with his physical presence in the Eucharist, can we do less? Before you leave here today, take a moment to look at Jesus in the tabernacle, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and thank him for the gift of your very existence. Thank him for his willingness to forgive you your sins and provide you with a clean garment to wear to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Thank him for forgiving you for the times you failed to see his majesty with the eyes of faith. God loves us. God wants to be in communion with us. But let us always remember, God is God. It is when we acknowledge his majesty and humbly acknowledge our debt to him that we can begin to truly love him back. Live Jesus.